The capacity to love given to human beings is greater by far than the capacity that is given to insects or to birds or to cats and to dogs. The quality of love relates directly to the capacity of the being who gives it. Now think with me about this. The love of God.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, and today we begin a message all about the love of God. And Colin, as you just said, when we stop and try and really think about the love of God, that's mind-blowing.
Yeah, it is. It's beyond anything that we can fully comprehend on earth, and it's actually beyond anything that we will fully comprehend in heaven, because for all eternity, we will go on discovering, exploring more and more of the riches and the depth and the breadth and the length and the height of this amazing love of God. The important thing is that for us now, we begin to know something of it, that as a Christian, I'm able to say, I know that God loves me, and I'm able to assure myself of it when I don't feel it, when it feels that God is far from me. And that's what we're getting into today.
I love that we're going to begin to answer that question, how can I know that God loves me? And to, as you said, enjoy that knowledge and that love of God. So if you can, join us in Romans chapter 5 as we begin the message, The Love of God.
Today is the last message in our series on the soul. God has made us a body-soul unity. The body wears out. It is weak in its nature. But your soul goes on forever. Your soul will never die. Your soul will be forever saved, or your soul will be forever lost. That is why it is of supreme importance that you care for your soul. And in this series, we've been seeing that God gives to us four wonderful friends for our soul. Friends who are to be welcomed into our life, into our heart, into our inner being. And we have seen that these are first the Son of God, second the Word of God, third the fear of God, and then today this wonderful subject of the love of God. Each of these four is spoken of in the Bible as being in the heart, in the life, in the soul of a Christian believer. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, here's the Son of God in you. Christ lives in me. That's true of a Christian believer. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. We looked last week at Jeremiah and chapter 32 and verse 40, where God says, I will put the fear of me in their hearts that they may not turn away from me, and saw how this fear of God does us wonderful, wonderful good. And today then we come to the last of these four friends as we wrap up this series. And I do invite you to turn to Romans in chapter 5. And particularly verse 5, which is our focus, though we will be touching on the other verses around it also. And here we have this most marvelous statement for us to relish and to take into our hearts today. Romans 5 and verse 5, God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. I want you to think with me for a moment about this love of God, the love of God, God's love. The quality of any love relates directly to the capacity of the being who gives it. The quality of any love relates directly to the capacity of the being who gives it. So if you ask the question, do insects experience love? I think the answer is reasonably yes. I mean, you watch bees cooperating in a hive. There is clearly a relationship there. There's partnership there. There's common purpose that's there, developed even at the level of the insect kingdom. If you ask the question, thinking about higher forms of animal life, do birds experience love? The answer very, very clearly is yes. The relatedness of birds in migration. How many times have you stopped by Lake Arlington there as these Canadian geese parade in their slow walk together as a group across the road, holding all the traffic to a standstill? The capacity of birds is higher than the capacity of insects, and you see the development of relatedness in the world of birds. Move higher in the created order, and let's get to cats and dogs. Do cats have the capacity to love? All the cat lovers here, quite clearly, the answer is that they do. What about dogs? Clearly, the loyalty and the affection of a dog is a special gift in the lives of millions and millions of people. Now, whether cats are more loving than dogs is an issue that I'm not going to venture into today. That is the easiest way to lose half of the congregation, and I'm not as foolish as to do a thing like that. All that I'm affirming is that the capacity of affection is given to cats and to dogs, and that it is given to them in a higher degree than is given to birds or to insects. Then let's move out of the animal kingdom and into the world of people, the man and the woman. People are more than developed animals. We are made in the image of God. And quite clearly, the capacity to love given to human beings is greater by far than the capacity that is given to insects or to birds or to cats and to dogs. The quality of love relates directly to the capacity of the being who gives it. Now think with me about this. The love of God. Think about the capacity there. What are we to say about the love of God? This God who is eternal in his being, unlimited in his power, infinite in his knowledge. The capacity of God is more than anything we can fathom on earth, and it is more than anything that the angels can fathom in heaven. Therefore, the love of God is beyond our ability fully to grasp, which is why forever we will be lost in worship and wonder and love and praise as the extent of his love goes on being unfolded to us for all eternity. No wonder the apostle prays for Christian believers that we might have strength to comprehend the breadth and length and depth and height of the love of Christ, which he says surpasses knowledge. Now that's our subject today, the love of God. And I want you to notice that the love of God is spoken here in two ways. First in verse 5, which is going to be our main focus, but also in verse 8 that I'd like to draw your attention to now. Romans 5 and verse 8 says, God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, friends, here's something to tuck away in your memory and to keep with you all your life. When you ask the question, how can I know that God loves me? This is where you go for an answer. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Here's how you know in any circumstance of life that God loves you. God shows his love. That's what the verse says. God demonstrates his love. The word could also be translated even as strongly as God proves his love in this. How do I know? Christ died for us. We are looking at objective historical data. Something happened. And this is how I know that God loves me. How do I know? Christ died. And he died for me. And this is Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, the proof of God's love. Christ did this, and he did it for me. Now, friends, it is really important that you know how to answer the question, how do I know that God loves me? Especially when you come to really traumatic events or seasons in your life. And here's why it's so important, because when you face trauma, you may very well find that a large part of your whole emotional system shuts down. And because of the circumstances that you are in and what is hitting you in your life, you just don't feel things as you normally would. And when you are in that place, you will find yourself saying, well, here I am in this trauma, and I can't feel the love of God. Of course you can't. You can't feel anything as you normally would. And that is why this objective historical revelation of the love of God is so important, especially at these times. You may find yourself in a place of saying, someone may be there right now. Many Christians will be there at some point in your life, and this is why you need to tuck this away and have it in your mind and in your heart. You may find yourself in a place of saying, I can't feel a thing. I come to church and I feel numb. But I know that God loves me because he sent his son to die for me. That's how I know. Even when I can't feel a thing, Christ gave himself for me. And this is love. Even when what has hit me in life has numbed my system to the point where I cannot feel anything or relate to anything quite as I normally would.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called The Love of God, part of a larger series called Soul Care. And if you joined us late, have to leave early, want to go back and listen to this message again or any previous broadcast in the series, come and listen online. Our website address is openthebible.org. That's openthebible.org. All right, back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, this is where you go to answer the question, how can I know that God loves me? But there's more. And it's the more that I particularly want to focus on in the scriptures today. And let me put it to you this way, that the love of God is more than a truth to be believed, it is a gift to be enjoyed. And that is the great significance of where Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. Because verse 5 says that God's love has been poured into our hearts. Now he's talking about something that's happening within us now. Into our hearts, into our souls, into our interior life. And that this happens through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So do you see how these two verses, Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, and Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, two wonderful statements about the love of God, how beautifully they complement each other and how wonderfully they stand together. That the love of God is poured out at the cross by his Son, and the love of God is poured into our hearts by his Spirit. It is a truth to be believed, Romans 5, 8. It is an experience to be enjoyed, a gift to be enjoyed, Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. The love of God is rooted in history, but it is also earthed in experience. It is universal in its scope. Christ giving himself on the cross. Here is the demonstration of the love of God that anyone in the world can see. And yet it is to become personal in experience. Not only there and then on the cross, but here and now, known and experienced in our hearts. Our hearts. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. So I read Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, and this is my response. I'm sure it's yours. I find myself saying, I want to know as much of that love of God in this heart as I possibly can this side of heaven. Don't you find yourself thinking that? Isn't that what you feel? And that's what we're going to look at today. If all we knew of the love of God was what we may deduce from the fact that Christ died on the cross, it would still be glorious. But God speaks to us in Romans chapter 5 and verse 5 about something that is beyond perceiving that God loved us because Jesus died for us. He speaks about knowing it in our heart, experiencing it in our heart, moving beyond the realm of knowledge, increasing abundance of felt experience of what it is to be embraced in the Father's love. So here's what we're seeking to do today, two points, so it's not always three, you know, just two things today. First, I want us to look at what's promised. Let's look at this marvelous promise in verse 5. Try and take it in. What is it that God's saying to us? And then the second thing, of course, is to answer the question, how can I know more, much more than I have known before, of this love of God poured out into my heart? These two things. Well, first the promise then, and let's look at this verse. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Notice that beautiful word poured. Not dribbled, not sprinkled, not dripped. Poured. It speaks of an abundance. Let me use a picture from the scriptures to try and illustrate what is being described here. The Apostle John tells us that 6 days before the Passover, when Jesus suffered so much for us, he came to the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, three siblings, who loved him and who Jesus loved very much indeed. Lazarus, of course, was one who Jesus had raised from the dead. That's in John chapter 11, and this story that I'm telling you is in John chapter 12. And Jesus comes to the home, and how do you say thank you to someone who's given you life from the dead? Can you imagine? How do you say thank you? And here's Martha and Mary and Lazarus, and they want to put on a dinner in Jesus' honor. And they put on the dinner, and John tells us very movingly that during the dinner, an idea came to Mary. She took a pound of expensive ointment, and she poured it on the feet of Jesus. And John says this, the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Now you think about that. She takes the, here's this flask of perfume, and she smashes it. She puts the whole lot, not just a couple of drops that you would normally use, but the whole lot of this very, very expensive perfume on the feet of Jesus. And John says, the whole house was filled with the fragrance. It went everywhere when it was poured out. Not just everywhere in the room, but everywhere in the whole house. There wasn't a corner of the place where you could not smell the beautiful influence of what had been poured out in this marvelous act of devotion. Now, isn't that a wonderful picture of what we're thinking of here? The Holy Spirit pours out the love of God into the hearts of believers. What that means, therefore, is that it goes everywhere. This love can't be contained in a small corner of your life. When it's poured out by the Spirit, everything is affected. The fragrance fills the whole house. Think of this. It's something wonderful just to lift your mind and open your mind to. Think of what this can mean for you. The love of God in all of its healing power, poured out by the Holy Spirit, permeating every part of your interior life. That would include your memories. That would include your mind, your heart, your will, the fragrance of the love of God permeating into all of this, the pervasive presence of this love being poured out into you. It's wonderful to think of. And of course, as you think of it, the natural place for the mind to go is to say, well, how in the world would that be possible? And so I want you to look at what the apostle says. God's love has been poured into our hearts. How? How? Through the Holy Spirit. You see what he's saying? Only the Holy Spirit can do this. Your pastor can speak to you about the love of God, but your pastor doesn't have the ability to pour this love into your heart. You have to go to God for that. Your counselor can point you in the direction of a God who loves you, but she cannot pour the love of God into your heart. You have to go to God for that. But look at what it says here in the scripture. It's not just that the Holy Spirit can pour the love of God into our hearts. It says he has. Do you see that? God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. So trying to shape our minds by what the Bible actually says, Paul is writing to Christian believers in Rome, and he's saying effectively, now here are two things that you need to know about yourself as a Christian. Number one, for a person in Christ, the Holy Spirit has been given to you. He has been given to you. If that's not true of you, you're not yet in Christ, and you shouldn't pretend that you are. There's no such thing as a person who's in Christ who has not received the Holy Spirit. Check that out in Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. It's very, very clear. How could Christ be in your heart, and how could you be in Christ if it was not that the Holy Spirit had done that work and made it to be so? Could not possibly happen otherwise. So if you're in Christ, Paul's saying to these Christians in Rome, understand two things are true of you. The first is this, that the Holy Spirit has been given to you. And here's the second, therefore, because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God and therefore the Spirit of love, God's love has been poured into your heart. These things are true of everyone who is in Christ. Everyone who is in Christ has tasted something of the love of God. And a person who has not tasted something of the love of God is not yet in Jesus Christ.
Well, we do have to pause the message right there. You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, a message called The Love of God. And we're going to continue to look at his love in our next broadcast. I do hope you make it a point to tune in. You can always, of course, be listening to the radio, but you can also listen if you miss the radio broadcast by coming to our website. It's openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. You can also listen if you have the Open the Bible app. That's free. You'll find it at your favorite app store, or we'll link you to it through the website. Again, openthebible.org. But whether you listen online, through the app, or on the radio, it is all made possible through your generosity. So thank you for giving and supporting this ministry. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to say thank you by sending you a book Pastor Colin has picked. It's called Checkbook of the Bank of Faith. And a lot of books, Colin, you sit down and read cover to cover. But this one, it's more of a daily devotional, isn't it?
It is a daily devotional by C.H. Spurgeon, one of my favorite authors. And every day he gives us one promise from the Bible and just typically three paragraphs that you can read about that promise. I would say it would take most people about 1 minute to read this devotional for the day. I find it to be wonderfully, wonderfully rich because it's God's promises being applied to our lives. And the publishers, Christian Focus, have done a marvelous job with this edition of what really is a Christian classic. Because it's called Checkbook of the Bank of Faith, they've produced it in a way that actually looks and feels just like your checkbook. So you can slip it in a pocket, you could put it in a bag, you can leave it by your nightstand, you can carry it around anywhere, and you have a promise from God for every day. I find this so nourishing, and I think our folks are going to love it.
Well, we'd love to send you a copy of Checkbook of the Bank of Faith as our way of saying thank you for your financial support this month. You can find out more or give online at openthebible.org. or call us at 877-673-6365. That might be easier to remember as 877-OPEN-365. Or again, our website is openthebible.org. Well, thanks for listening today. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. How can you receive more of God's love? Find out next time on Open the Bible.